Well, I'd like to preach for just a little while, and we'll have you out here on time, Lord willing. And I want you to look, if you would, at Luke chapter number 10. I want to preach for a little while about Mary and Martha. They're contrasted here, and I want to look at what's needful on that day. As you find your place in Luke chapter 10, I did hear this story about this fellow that was going bear hunting for the first time. They've been trying to get him to come as you're looking there, Luke 10. But this fellow was going bear hunting for the first time. So they got him set up and he was ready there and he was ready to get that bear. But then he saw one. It kind of scared him. It got a little closer and closer. It scared him. He dropped his gun. He didn't know what to do then. So he knew you weren't supposed to run, but he did anyways. And so he ran and tried to go up a tree, but he fell out of that and fell down on there. And they thought, well, I heard one time you're supposed to, all these thoughts going through his mind 1,000 miles a minute. I heard you're supposed to play dead. So he played dead, but he could see out of the corner of his eye that bear wasn't fooled. It just kept on coming. He said, okay, that's not going to work. And so he started to run again, but tripped again. It was on the ground there. And that bear was coming. And all of a sudden, that bear just reared up, put his big old claws up in the air. And he was a Christian. This man was praying, said, oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And he didn't know what to do. And he really prayed something. He said, Lord, I prayed you'd make this a Christian bear. He thought, that's a dumb thing to pray. Their bears can't be Christians. But he was already committed at that point. He said, Lord, just make it a Christian bear. And he thought, as dumb as that was, he was going to say something else to the Lord. But about that time, that bear just came down. He thought, well, maybe it worked. He said, Lord, please, please, please make it a Christian bear. Keep it a Christian bear. Make it always a Christian bear. And he thought, well, it's settling down. That bear just kind of sat back on its haunches there. And he looked and he took his two front claws. He put them together, said, Lord, bless this food that I'm about to receive. So I really don't know that it matters what kind of bear you get eaten by, a Christian or not, but I think you're still eating. So we're looking at Luke chapter 10. The Bible says in verse 38, we're going to look at Mary and Martha. And many of us have heard messages about these two, their sisters. It came to pass, verse 38, as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Father, I pray that you bless this message. I pray that you would just take it to our hearts, dear Lord. Use it this time, we pray. I do pray for Ms. Lori Jenkins that you'd strengthen, bless, and help her there, dear Lord. I pray for this message that you'd use it in the lives that are sitting here today and listening out and about. In Jesus' name, amen. We have these two sisters. One of them's got a great servant's heart that just wants to serve and do and perform, as it were, for the Lord and just do what she could. And Martha is that one. If it were today, she would be the one getting the dishes all put out there on the table or on the countertop, and she'd be the one that would be getting the charcuterie, whatever those boards are where you put all that meat and cheese and everything. We just called it a sandwich tray back when I was a kid, but now they got a fancier word for it. She'd be getting all that stuff ready. And she was all doing this stuff. And Mary wasn't having any of that. She was in there where Jesus was. The Bible says she was there at his feet and she heard his word. And so we see these two sisters contrasted. I think of Martha as this one that's just busy, busy, busy doing these other things. But Mary, this starry-eyed dreamer that just loving to spend time with the Lord. I've got two daughters, you know, and I've watched my fair share, probably your share, of Anna Green Gables along the way in life because of these girls. And so it'd be easy for somebody like Marilla Cuthbert, that was the mom that adopted Anne, to think about how silly Anne was with all those dreams and nonsense and all these things that don't put any value to your day. And I think that's the way Martha was as she looked at Mary. The work was burdensome for Martha. She wanted to do it, but she wanted to do it and she wanted to have help. And so as she looked over at her sister Mary, and I think that she just got more and more mad as Mary was not doing what Martha wanted to do or wanted her to do. And I don't think the problem was that Martha was doing too much work. I think instead it was that Martha didn't first worship the Lord, because the Bible says, Jesus speaking, he says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, go from there, take my yoke upon you. It's not that he doesn't give a burden. He allows us to have a burden in these lives, because people with no burden, really, they don't have much direction, much purpose. And so he said, take my yoke upon you. And I think that that's what Martha's problem was. She was just taking that yoke, but she wasn't coming unto the Lord first as her sister Mary was. I want to look at just a couple of things here this morning that were needful in that time that Martha missed the boat on. I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 39, we see that we need to be close to him. The Bible says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We think that Martha was too busy, but I don't think that it was too busy that she was. I think she just, first of all, should have taken some time to be with the Lord. And I think about the song that's number 2 in our hymn book. It's called, "A Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee." Reginald Heber wrote that song. His dad was a pastor in the 1800s, as was he, early 1800s. And this fellow, Reginald, wrote 57 songs, I believe it were, hymns. But their church didn't sing hymns. That was considered kind of non-worshipful, wasn't enough regality, and I suppose. And he went from that church in England over to be a missionary in India, and he died at the young age of 42. Many of his songs afterwards got some recognition, and that one that I shared with you did. Of course, it's gotten in many hymnals, "Holy, Holy, Holy." He also found himself needing to be close to the Lord. That old hymn writer was close, because oftentimes our hymns are written by people who have gone through great tragedies and heartaches, and then they find themselves drawn to the Lord. And I think about how Martha would have been so much better off if she had only gotten close to Jesus first. And the need that she had was not to quit serving. That was fine. That was her part that she takes, but it was the need to get close to the Lord. You say, "Pastor, how do you get close to the Lord?" Well, much like you got close to if you're married in this room today, much like you got close to that person that you're married to. If you were lucky enough, fortunate enough to have a porch swing on your front porch or her front porch, you'd sit out there and you'd say, "Wow, it's beautiful out here tonight, isn't it?" And she'd say, "It's raining cats and dogs." "Well, it looks beautiful from where I'm sitting, I tell you that for sure." And you sit back and we swing back and forth in there and say, "Well, what do you want to do?" "Oh, anything as long as you're there." "Well, what are you thinking about in life?" "I don't know. My life would be made perfect if you'd just come and join me." And so all of these things you would talk about, and you sure do have pretty eyes, and all of these things that you say back and forth. Well, that's about the way that you get close to the Lord. You just spend time with him. "Lord, you sure did make a beautiful sunrise this morning. I love it every time we come to church, even if it's raining and snow and whatever else it's doing, but I love it the most when the sun's shining like it was today, and it's so beautiful as people come around." Somebody in the early service, they said, "Well, it's cloudy and kind of overcast where we came, but the closer we got to the church, it just got clearer and clearer." I said, "Can you spread that around to everybody in your neighborhood? Tell them the sun's shining over here." And just like you get close to that person you think is your special someone, then we get close to the Lord in that same way. We spend time with him. We say, "Lord, you sure did make a beautiful tapestry for me to look at. It's a beautiful background." I had the privilege of Brother Michael and Lori Hubbard's daughter got married yesterday, and we were there, and they had this beautiful background out there in Afton, Tennessee, and they were taking pictures. Even though it was raining, they still had the beautiful backdrop of all those trees in that beautiful place. And so we could say, "God, you've given us a beautiful backdrop for all that's going on today." I see that Martha would have been much better off to be close to him like her sister Mary was, but I don't need you to turn there, but you can jot this reference down over in John chapter 11. These are the same Martha and Mary that you know are brothers or sisters to their brother Lazarus. And Lazarus has died, and they are asking Jesus to come on. And he lingers much longer than they want him to. But if you look there later, you would see that these sisters said almost the same thing, or maybe the exact same thing. "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Martha says that. Tells, "Lord, if you'd have been here, we wouldn't have had to have that funeral. If you'd been here, we wouldn't have had to wrap him up. Lord, if you'd been here, we wouldn't have had to put him in that grave. Lord, if you'd have been here, we wouldn't have had to have any of that crime. We wouldn't have had any of that. You could have just taken care of it." And just down a few verses in verse number 32, Mary says the exact same thing. "Lord, if thou'dst been here, my brother had not died." But there's an amazing difference there, and doesn't say anything in the scriptures there about Martha kneeling down, but it says a lot about Mary. She got at the feet of Jesus, and they both said the same thing, but Mary was a lot closer and bowed down to the Lord in reverence to him, says, "Oh, Lord, if you'd been here." And I think Mary was, or Martha was trying to talk to his head a little bit. "Now, Lord, if you'd have been here, you know you could have prevented all this mess." And sometimes I believe that our problem is not that we don't know what we want, not that we don't know what the Lord, we want the Lord to do, but I believe my problem is I don't just get close to him. This morning, as you're listening, I hope that you would find this lesson true in your life, that Martha needed to be close to him. But look on in verse number 39, not only did she need to be close to him, but at the end of the verse, we see also that we need to hear his word, because that's what Mary was doing, and heard his word. Maybe Martha thought, "I don't have time to listen to him. I got too much work to do. I know what he said. He told me the same things the last time. I already know what he's going to say. I know what Mary can take notes on all that. I got to get some work done." I can't tell you how many times I've gone out from my house and there's a shed or two back behind that Dad had built, and he'd say, "Son, go get something." And he'd put it, tell me what I was supposed to. And I didn't half listen to what it was because I thought I already knew what he wanted. And so I was working with him on something. I'd go out there and I'd look. Now, first of all, you got to remember what he told you to get. If you can remember that, you got to remember where he said it was. And then I'd not know where I was, what I was looking for, not know where I was looking at. And then I'd finally wait around long enough to go back in and say, "Now, Dad, where'd you say that was?" He says, "Up on that third, up on the shelf, up on the right-hand side. And tell me again what I'm looking for." About that time, he says, "Now, son, get out of here." We don't hear all that time that well. Now, you wives that are in here, you can say amen anywhere during this story, because wives, I think about this, a wife tells her husband to, "Listen, you're in charge of the kids." He says, "Okay, I got to go to the store, I got to get this," and he says, "Okay." Now, ladies, time out here. That's what you think you did your duty. You thought by telling him one time that he was in charge of these children that are his, by the way, that Amy told me a long time ago, "John, it's not babysitting if they're yours." I thought I had her over. "I don't want to babysit tonight." She said, you don't babysit your own kids. They're yours. But ladies, you think you told them good enough. "Listen, you're in charge. You got the kids. I'm going somewhere." But you did not. Because you found that out when you got home, and you got one kid that's up in the tree hanging by one hand. You got one kid that's hanging out the window from the second story just hoping that some fireman comes. You got the other one, the baby that needs his diaper changed, and you got everything going all kinds of different crazy ways. And the wife realizes that he is not in charge at all. He's not doing anything. He didn't listen to me at all. If you have any doubt when you come in the door, ladies, and you say, "Hey, what are you doing? Where are the kids?" If he says this next word, you'll know they didn't hear anything that you said. If he turns to you and says, "Huh?" You know that it completely fell on deaf ears. So ladies, you know that just because somebody's in your presence when you verbally express something doesn't mean that they hear. And Martha needed to hear his word. But not only that, I want you to look in verse number 40. Let's just assume that Martha is like most every other person, maybe like the average sister, and so she's not only going to tell the Lord that Mary should have been helping, she's probably going to tell Mary that you're supposed to be helping. My wife is a twin, and so I know that they've had some intense conversations amongst between themselves. So I'm saying that Martha, imagining that Martha also nagged Mary about, "Hey, you're supposed to be helping," before she went to Jesus to say, "Hey, Mary is supposed to be helping." But I'm looking at this and thinking, not only did she need to be close to him and hear him, but Mary needed to not let the world, the voices out there deter her or distract her from worshiping the Lord. Do you know we've never had more voices, I don't think we, than there are right now in this world. I mean, we've got social media, so many different platforms that are telling you how you ought to live and what you ought to do and how you ought to drink, what you ought to eat and drink and all these things to be healthy. And this person says something completely opposite of what that person says. No, this will be the best diet you've ever had. If you just drink this wonderful, miraculous juice, it will help you. And all these voices coming from everywhere to tell you and me how we're supposed to live. And there has to be a time when we push all those aside and we don't let ourselves be deterred from what the Lord wants us to do. If we're going to worship the Lord, we must stay focused on Him. And I'm telling you, in this day and age in which we live, there is everything trying to pull your attention away from Have you ever heard this Bible holler out to you? Read me. It never speaks from the dresser over there to say, pick me up. But I'll tell you what does give you notifications again and again and again. Your cell phone. And almost says, hey, pick me up. I've got something important on me to show you. Well, your Bible, my Bible, just sits over there silently wanting me to pick it up and hear from the Lord of heaven. And if we're going to hear from God, and what was needful in Martha's life was to not let the cares of the world pull her away from what needed to be done, because what needed to be done was Jesus was sitting right there in the other room. Can you imagine if he were coming to your house and you spent all your time fluttering around getting all the work done, and then about time you got it done, all right, now we're done. He said, all right, I got to go. We ought to love him. There was a story I read about. It was in 2002. It was reported in 02, but it was from a story in 1972. A little two-year-old boy named Hu Chien had fallen from a table, and as he fell, hit his head, he went into a coma. He was in a coma for 6 days. When he finally woke up, he couldn't walk or he couldn't talk or he couldn't move. And his little 88-pound mother, by the time this story was written, which was 30 years after his accident, when he would have been 32 years old by this point, this little 88-year-old mom would pull and lift and prod and do all she could to pull that boy of hers, who was almost twice her size by that point. She didn't have money for any kind of care, didn't have any money for nursing facilities or anything like that. And she was afraid that he would not be safe if she left him at home. And then also she didn't want him to have bed sores, so she would pull some little makeshift cart and move him around, get him comfortable, because she would go from neighbors to neighbors to do different jobs. Somebody asked her one day, and the translation loses a little bit of it, but she was asked, isn't he heavy? Isn't that a lot of work for you? And she had just gotten used to it by this point in her life. We say, isn't he heavy? Isn't that a hard job to do? And through translation, she said something like this: he ain't heavy. He's my son. And what she was meaning by that, my love is so strong for him, I don't think about the weight. And I'm thinking about us. As we let all of the cares of this world kind of squelch out the Lord, the most important voice that you and I are supposed to be listening to. It's not hard to listen to the Lord. He's our Lord. It's not hard to take time for Jesus. He's Jesus Christ. If we truly look at him, it's easy. I'm telling you, if you want to have a meaningful walk with the Lord, you're going to have to stay dedicated like that little mama did. And love and stay focused on what really matters. Martha, Martha, one thing is needful. And Mary took the good part. How about you this morning? As we see, Martha was told by Jesus there is something needful, and I believe it started when she needed to be close to him. And I would ask you this morning, was there a time in your life when you were closer to the Lord than you are right now? Did you used to spend more time with him? Did you used to linger in the mornings or get up a little early or stay up a little late at night and do not do anything special of the world? I was walking the other night, and most times I take my phone with me and I listen to preaching or music or something and watch some video as I walk, and trying to drive past me while I'm walking if I'm watching a video. I don't want to run out in front of you. It'd be bad for you and me. A little worse for me than you, but I didn't turn any of that on. So I was out there just pouring my heart out to the Lord, just trying to get close. And I think, how many times have I missed opportunities to just be closer to the Lord? How about you? Are we close to him? Are we listening to his voice? And then are we pushing out all the other distractions? I think about these young guys over here and the girls. They've got so many voices hollering at them today. If they break through and walk with God, it's only going to be because they shut some of those down and shut them out and purposely tune an ear to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is needful. Would you bow your heads together with me and pray? Father, I thank you for the time to be in your house. Lord, I ask you to bring all of us to the point where we realize what is needful. Lord, it's needful to listen. It's needful to be close, and it's needful to refuse to let the cares of this world take us away. Lord, I pray for every soul that's listening today that they would shut down things just for a little while, and they would listen to your voice. Lord, I pray that you would speak, and I pray that you would do a work in our hearts. My friend, if you're here today and it seems like it's been a long time since you just quieted down, got close to Jesus and listened, then today's the day to make some commitments to him. Lord, I want to hear your voice. You say, Pastor, I don't think I could hear a voice. I've never heard one audibly. If I did, it'd probably scare me so bad, take my life away. I don't think I could handle that. But I've had lots of times when he just put a thought on my heart. He just moved into that sweet, still, small voice. You say, Pastor, I long for that too. Well, let's make a commitment today. Lord, I want to spend more time with you. I want to get close to you. I want to push out the distractions, and I want to listen to you. You make a commitment. We'll stand to our feet in just a moment, but maybe you want to come to the altar, pray at the altar. Maybe you just want to make an altar out of your seat. Say, Lord, I want to spend more time with you. I want to be a Mary in this Martha-type world. I want to be that one that listens, that gets close to your feet. I don't want to just be doing all the work. Yes, the work is fine, but I want to spend time with you first. Bless us, I pray, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. As they begin to play, if you're able to, would you stand together with us? If the Lord's spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you want to come and pray. Tell the Lord some things that you'd like to commit to him. Maybe you're here this morning, and I did not preach on this, but you know there's a knock at your heart's door. And you know you need salvation. You know you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you step out and come? Let Brother Daniel or someone take a Bible and show you how to be sure heaven's your home. Don't worry. Don't wait. Don't worry about being embarrassed. Lord, that'll be the most exciting thing that's happened on this campus today. If you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? We've got a couple folks that have already indicated to me they'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We met with them before, but maybe you'd like to come present yourself for membership at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I invite you to step out and come. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. Well, it's a joy that this morning to present to you Brother Joel. He's right down here. Many of you know him, Ajuko, and Miss Insei here, Afaha, and they are a great blessing to us. And we're thankful that the Lord has brought them from such a long distance, of course, but then to be a part of our church. And we thank God for them. They've been helping in the international ministry, but they also feel they're saved and baptized and feel led of the Lord that they would join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And so Miss Insei and Joel, we would like to present them to you for membership. So we'd have a motion to accept them into membership. We'd take that. Brother Larry Russell back there in the back, and we would need a second for that. All right, Brother Richard Ball back here seconds that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Amen. Well, we're certainly glad to have them. They've been a part of our church for a good while, and we're grateful for them, but it makes it official, and we're thankful for that. I'm going to ask the Harts, if they don't mind, to slip back to the table. This is a family that just stepped out on faith years ago, and they have been being a blessing just like they were to us today, but to church after church after church. Brother Jeremiah preaches, is a wonderful preacher as well, and maybe you'd like to buy some. There's some CDs, some memory sticks back there as well, and then some other things. Their boys have gotten into roasting some coffee, and I trust message will be a blessing. All this just goes back into the ministry. And maybe you, God's going to put on your heart, you say, boy, that's a wonderful family going out on faith, and you just want to help them out. You want to give through the regular offering, we'll get it to them. Or you want to give it to them, that's fine as well. But be sensitive to the Lord about that. And we are certainly glad that they are with us. Be back tonight. We'll have a good time hearing from them. And then we'll hear from Brother Rahm as well. It'll be a great time in the house of the Lord tonight. But if you would, some of you, several of you, get by to meet Miss Insay and Joel, and then we'll certainly welcome them into Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And if you're wanting to help with Bible school, I failed to mention this earlier, there's some forms out in the lobby. They're on the black table in between the doors, and that's June the 24th through the 28th is when Bible school is, but we'd like to have those forms back today. If you can fill that out, we need to get background checks and all that for all that help, and we'll have a great time. And then ladies, there's a craft night Sunday, June the 15th. And so that is something that you can enjoy. The cost, I think, is $10. You can see my wife, Amy, or Miss Leslie Farmer, and there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby as well. And then this one last one, tomorrow, May the 20th, there's a fundraiser at the Scoop. And so that fundraiser is for the teens going to England for that missions trip. And so you can pray about it, but how could the Lord be against that if you're able to go eat ice cream and help the teenagers go to England? Maybe you don't even need to pray about that. God must be in something like that. So, but if you can stop by the Scoop, and they'll be a blessing to the young people. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. You're dismissed.